And this is Chris, and I am at Tunes Bar and Grill, and you're listening to Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Outside the Loop. Yes, this is Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I am Mike Steven. It is wonderful to be here with you today here on show number 933. What we do here on this program is take a look at local issues and topics that don't always get mainstream media attention. Bob Ferguson is our engineer on duty today in the WGN radio studio. So good morning to Fergie. We love him, and I love you for listening to the show. Coming up on the show today, Jazz Fest is in town, and we learn about a killer sax player who was part of it, as well as the significance of this festival. Also, we talk to the executive director of a local nonprofit that focuses on addiction and mental illness recovery, and air pollution in our state. It is significant. There's a new report out from the University of Illinois that quantifies air pollution here. We hear from its author. The big headline out of Chicago this week: the city faces an almost $1 billion budget shortfall for next year. That's more than $400 million than last year's estimated deficit. Good times. Hey, here's an idea. We take the city's 36,000 parking meters and we sell them off to a private company, say, I don't know, for 75 years. And then we get that $1 billion up front so we can plug the deficit. I mean, when he was asked, Mayor Johnson didn't rule out tax increases to bring in more revenue, and nobody wants tax increases, right? This little scheme avoids that option. Let's see here. Checks, notes. Oh, yeah, we did that in 2008. And we've been losing out on parking meter revenue ever since, to the tune of, let me check my notes, billions of dollars. Cool, cool, cool. Well, at least the CTA was humming along for the DNC. This despite the fact that the CTA president hasn't been around too much lately. Block Club Chicago at blockclubchicago.org has an investigation, and it's worth the read. Here's some of what it says. Quote, Alderman Bennett Lawson was desperate to have the Belmont Red Line station cleaned up when he tried, again, to get the attention of CTA President Dorval Carter Jr. in April. One of the busiest stations north of the loop had a pigeon problem, and it was getting out of control to the point that bird feces covered sections of the station. So, the 44th Ward Alderman emailed Carter and copied Mayor Brandon Johnson. Attached is my latest attempt to meet with you at the Belmont Red Line station in the 44th Ward, Lawson wrote in an April 18th email reviewed by Block Club Chicago. Lawson added that he and his predecessor, Tom Tunney, had requested meetings with Carter for many years. In his April 22nd response, Carter said he had just visited the Belmont Red Line station. He said the CTA was already making many of the improvements Lawson was requesting. Carter downplayed most of the alderman's other concerns. Carter ended his letter by saying he had previously met with Tunney and would schedule a walkthrough meeting with Lawson. 2 more weeks passed before Carter met Lawson at the Belmont station after the transit leader returned from a 6-day convention in Portland, Oregon. The sequence of events wasn't unusual. The Portland trip was one of many Carter took during the past year when he scheduled more time traveling the world than visiting the system he leads. End quote. The article goes on to say that Carter was in town about 28% of the 348 days that Block Club Chicago reviewed his public schedule. So that's not a great look for the president of the CTA, especially when there are so many complaints about safety, cleanliness, and timeliness. Look, this is a reminder that we need to hold the city's feet to the fire. We elect these folks who make decisions about things like who runs the CTA. And I'm not trying to be a downer here, but sometimes I feel like we need some reminders that the people are in control. But we need to care enough to use our collective power. Today, let's have some fun here on the show. Let's get educated and maybe, just maybe, even inspired to take action. All A new report out of the University of Illinois finds the impact of air pollution on public health in our state is significant. The effects of this pollution include respiratory illness and premature death. The report is called Air Pollution Trends in Illinois, and it was authored by Julian Reif. He is an associate professor of finance and economics at the University of Illinois. We could check out igpa.uillinois.edu for this report, and Julian is here with us today on Outside the Loop. Julian, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
You're welcome. So look, it is no secret that we face pollution just by the very nature of us living in this area, especially in the Chicago region. So what was the purpose of this study?
So the purpose of this study was to better understand what the different levels of air pollution are and were in different regions of Illinois, and in particular, to better understand what the trends in air pollution levels are. So are they going down, which would bode well for our health, or are they getting worse? And does this vary across different areas?
So it's interesting because this report does look at different regions across the state. And when you're looking at the information here, and I know that you were looking at data from the EPA, among other things, but in terms of what's contributing to this pollution, the cars, the buses, the trains, the transportation, the planes, but also I was really kind of fascinated by the proximity to Lake Michigan. And if in the Chicago region, living somewhat close to Lake Michigan has an impact here, doesn't it?
Yeah, so there are a lot of different things that impact air pollution. I think you've named some of the main contributors, especially in the Chicago area, which is a lot of the transportation around there, such as cars and vehicles and so on. Also factories, power plants, these contribute. But another thing that can matter a lot is the particular geographic area or the particular weather conditions that can affect pollution. So in Chicago, for example, being located next to a lake can cause certain situations where pollution levels go up or down at fast rates. A big one, for example, that's affected by being next to a lake is which way the wind is blowing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of pollution comes from a local source. So, for example, planes and trains, as you mentioned, but also a lot of air pollution can be blown in from far away, as many of us were made well aware of last year during the Canadian wildfires.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of that pollution that doesn't come from anything in Chicago, that's blown here from many hundreds of miles away. And that's determined completely by the wind direction. All right, so which way the wind is blowing can actually matter a lot for the air pollution that you breathe.
I thought this part of the report was of note here, the kinds of pollutants that we're seeing. In Chicago, the report says that it's mostly particulate matter, and in other areas, there seems to be ozone pollution. Can you explain what's going on here?
Yes. So the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, monitors a large number of different pollutants. So they measure things like the amount of carbon monoxide in the air, nitrogen dioxide, ozone, and particulate matter, as well as one or two others. And particulate matter is basically just a droplet in the air that has some particles in it. And depending on what is producing the pollution in your area, you may have higher levels of ozone on one day or higher levels of particulate matter on another day or nitrogen dioxide on yet another day. And so all of these are measured because on any given day, it might be one or the other that's actually contributing to the air pollution levels. To make things a little more complicated, the chemistry gets a little technical, but some of these can actually turn into the other. So, for example, nitrogen dioxide and sulfur dioxide, which are bad for you, can also react with other molecules in the air and form particulate matter. So some of these are interchanging back and forth. All of them are measured by the EPA. This is one of the reasons why usually instead of reporting just the levels of pollution for one particular pollutant, they report something called the Air Quality Index, or AQI, which is sort of a summary measure that incorporates measures from all of these different pollutants.
I'm of the age where I remember the ozone layer is deteriorating. There's a hole in the ozone layer, and that's not good. But here we are saying, oh, no, there's ozone pollution. So that can cut both ways. Ozone can be pollution as well.
Yes, that's correct. And in particular, what the EPA is measuring here is ground level ozone. So this is ozone that's at ground level. Ozone is very toxic. It's not good to breathe it in. We don't like that kind of ozone. Ozone that's way up in the stratosphere is not harmful to human health, but does have effects on global warming. So we care about it there, but for different reasons.
Hmm. So what you found here, I guess this is some good news. Chicago has reduced its pollution levels by 25% since the year 2000. And again, we look at that and that's positive, but it seems that other areas in the state of Illinois have pretty much remained somewhat level. Can you explain this?
Yes. Yeah, so that was the most striking thing that I found when I was looking at these data, is that levels of air pollution are significantly higher in Chicago than in other regions of Illinois. That's perhaps not surprising to most people.
Mm-hmm.
And what was comforting to see is that there was a large reduction in these pollution levels in the air quality index in the Chicago region. So it fell, as you said, about 25%. In the other parts of Illinois that I looked at, the air pollution levels were flat. They were unchanged. Now, they're still better than in the Chicago area. I think today the average pollution levels in Chicago, the AQI is about 60 or a little bit below 60. And in a lot of other places like Champaign, the average AQI over the year is about 40. So the air quality is still better in other regions of Illinois, but they are not showing any changes in their patterns, unlike in Chicago.
And why do you think that is? I know you're looking at all this information here, but can we hypothesize what's going on here?
Yes, that's a good question. I would love to know the answer to that. So we can only speculate, really. It might be a change in the way that power plants or factories are emitting pollutants. So there are regulations that companies have to comply with. There are things you can do to power plants, for example, to install scrubbers and the like, which help them produce less pollution. That's possibly what's going on here. It's also possible that perhaps a switch to a larger number of electric vehicles is beginning to have an effect. Electric vehicles do not produce emissions like traditional gasoline-powered automobiles do. But this is all speculation. I haven't looked at that data, so I don't know what's responsible for that reduction that that we see in the Chicago area.
And this report, again, it's called Air Pollution Trends in Illinois. What do you want folks to take away from this report when they take a look at it here, Julian? What's the main message?
So I think it's a little bit of a nuanced message. The first one is that, you know, on average, overall pollution levels are going down in our most populated city in the state, the Chicago area. But at the same time, as we saw last year in 2023, there can be huge unexpected increases in air pollution levels. So one of the things that I looked at was at the pollution levels in 2023. And in every single region of Illinois, pollution during that portion of June, when we had those Canadian wildfires, was higher than it had ever been in the previous 5 years.
Hmm.
And it's possible that we may see more events like this in the future. If there are more fires in Canada and the wind is blowing in the right direction, then those kind of events will recur. And, you know, will that become more common? Again, we're not sure. It depends a little bit on whether Canada is able to help or help prevent some of those fires in the future. It also depends, of course, on what temperature levels look like in the future. If there are higher average temperatures on Earth because of global warming, for example, we may expect more of these fires. It's a little bit frustrating because there's not a lot that we can do locally to control this. There was nothing that Illinois did to cause these fires in Canada. These may recur in the future, even if pollution levels continue to decrease in the state.
Well, we will keep an eye on this. I know you will, Julian. This is really interesting data that you have put together here in this report. Again, this report is called Air Pollution Trends in Illinois. It was authored by Julian Reif, who is an associate professor of finance and economics at the University of Illinois. We could check out igpa.uillinois.edu. Hey, Julian, thank you so much for all of your hard work on this report. It really is an interesting read, and thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you, Mike. I enjoy talking.
But the Chicago Jazz Fest is happening right now. It started yesterday and it goes through today, Saturday, and through tomorrow at Millennium Park. It's always a great festival. Beautiful Chicago, the skyline in the background, and really so many talented musicians playing the Chicago Jazz Fest. And sure, you could get information on the Jazz Fest from a lot of places. So we're here at Outside the Loop. We're going to take a little detour and go take a deep dive into Jazz Fest. And to do that, we have Steve Krakow. Now, normally, he is the author of The Secret History of Chicago Music Strip, which appears in the Chicago Reader. Instead of A Secret History of Chicago Music Strip this week in the Reader, he has a special feature. It's about Jazz Fest, specifically about a saxophonist by the name of Billy Harper. So, Steve, you're here on official business, but it's not secret history business. But hey, man, it's all good. It's great to talk to you as always.
Yeah, obviously, if you're a regular Reader person, I do show previews as well as secret history pretty often. But this one's sort of feature length and definitely to give my editor, our overworked editor, Philip Montoro, give him a shout.
Sure.
A break, because he was basically like, I'm going to be editing hella Jazz Fest articles, and it's going to be tricky to do a secret history, too. And I'm like, let's just combine it all. And not so much covering a Chicago musician here, but one I have seen in Chicago, and I've been actively campaigning to get him back here. I was literally bugging people at clubs like, man, Billy Harper, he's still active out there on the East Coast. He sounds great. He looks great. He's got a great band. Get him out here to play, which I'm not afraid to do when I really like an artist. And this was someone I was passionate about. So again, my editor sort of gave me the permission to run with this one.
So you're taking a deep dive into the story of Billy Harper. He's not from Chicago, but he's on the lineup here for the Chicago Jazz Fest, slated to play yesterday, Friday. And he was born in Houston, Texas in 1943. He goes to New York City in 1966. So he's 81 right now, and he's still rocking. His sound is awesome. And I know that you start your feature, you say there's a quote from, this was a DJ from Washington, D.C., "Those who love Billy Harper and those who haven't heard him yet." I love that quote.
Me too. And, at first, for just a second, it struck me as like, oh, is that a kind of cliche quote? You could kind of say that about anything. But then it's true. It's just like 100% true here. Like, if you even just minorly one time enjoyed like a John Coltrane sax solo in your life, which you would think a lot of people on this planet probably have, correct?
Oh, yeah.
You just hear him and you're instantly like, oh my God, this guy is just as good, or his tone is beautiful. It's this mix of like dissonance and sort of, just utter beauty. And just one of those records you put the needle on and you're just like, holy cow, from the minute it's on till end. And it's a total classic in my book of sort of forward thinking cosmic / Afrocentric devotional jazz, and again, that sort of vibe that guys like John Coltrane and Harold Sanders and stuff sort of channeled. And, you know, those guys aren't with us anymore. So, like, see this 81-year-old legend, you know?
Billy Harper, again, he's 81 right now. So in the 80s and 90s, he spent a lot of time, as you write about, touring Japan and Europe. He, of course, builds a lot of following over there. And that's amazing. I mean, again, the power of jazz, I think sometimes we forget that this is really international. And this is a guy who just was crushing it overseas.
Definitely. I think he might almost be more appreciated over there. And I've been to Japan, and I know they're, and I've been in their record stores, and I know they are just fanatics for jazz. Especially, actually, over there they call it maniacs, is the term
for jazz.
They were like, "Oh, he is maniac," and I was like, "Maniac? What, should I be scared?" They're like, "No, like collector." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Ah.
So that's it. But it is a mania because everything the. Japanese pressings of jazz records are so immaculately made and packaged and coveted, actually. So, I mean, they're fanatics of about any genre that exists, but jazz in particular, I would say, and there was actually a really great jazz scene there in the 60s and 70s, very influenced by, like, guys like Harper and John Coltrane and such, going into sort of the more, you know, sort of spiritual realm of jazz. I think in particular, they really liked that over there. And, you know, and then he was also still playing in Chicago a little bit in the 90s. I'm pretty sure that is when I saw him, but I have to admit, it's a little fuzzy.
Yeah, right. Well, he was back for Jazz Fest, Billy Harper this year, and the Billy Harper Quintet. And this, Steve, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time, because you're also a visual artist, this is the first time you're doing a drawing of a musician that is not part of the secret history of Chicago music. Is that right?
That is true. It was weird when I was, you know, went to do it. I was like, wow, I've never actually done a drawing that was sort of not part of this header, you know, for my secret history thing. So I had to, like, really think about it just on a pure illustration level. I'm like, what are the dimensions I need to work in? It was like whole new questions after like 20 years at the Reader of how I should go about this. And I hope it turned out okay. And Mr. Harper himself might even like it.
I think he looks cool. You drew him holding the sax, kind of looking off into the distance. I think it's a pretty cool rendering of Billy Harper. So nice job with that. This is all in the Chicago Reader and online at chicagoreader.com. Steve, the Chicago Jazz Fest, I mean, it's been going for years here, and the significance of it, you know, you are talking about and really focusing on saxophonist Billy Harper, but in Chicago, I mean, this is one of the, you know, the prime events of the season. I know it's, you know, on the cusp of summer and fall, but I would still say it's a summertime festival. But really also in the jazz world, just beyond Chicago, this is a stop where musicians really want to come. You're playing this gig. It's downtown. Like I said, the skyline's in the background. It's a beautiful thing. So this is really sort of a premier festival when it comes to jazz and music in general, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been, whenever I do research and I see the old lineups invariably, you know, researching, like, obviously a lot of Chicago people play because it's a no-brainer. But, you know, I'll notice, like, the old lineups, it's everything from, like, you know, Sun Ra Orchestra to, like, Count Basie Orchestra, you know. So it'll be such a spectrum of musicians playing and of just huge legends, you know, who have played it over the years as well. So I thought, you know, I you know, it's not necessarily a jazz fest that gets the top billing with, you know, Montreux or, like, you know, I think Detroit has one that's pretty lauded, but
or New Orleans, of course.
New Orleans, yeah, biggie. But yeah, so, you know, I mean, all I know is every year there are artists I want to see, and this was no exception.
Yeah, Billy Harper, he played as part of the Chicago Jazz Fest this year, and I mean, you said you were trying to get him to come back, and here he is in Chicago. He played, I mean, who knows? I mean, he's 81, but he is pretty active out east, as you say, so maybe a chance to come back.
It makes sense he's that old because he's that generation, but I did not realize it. I just, you know, modern age, follow him on old Schminstagram, and I'm like, damn, he looks great.
He looks great, yeah.
He's got a full head of hair. He honestly looks like he's in like his 60s. I'm not exaggerating, you know? And I was like, wow. And then I see footage of him, like, oh my God, he's still tearing it up. Like, you know, so like, I'm the kind of guy who just writes them. I'm like, wow, what, you know, what would we have to do to get him in Chicago? And I've, you know, set up numerous shows, and or I hand it off to someone who can do it more responsibly than me, you know, over the years, or collaborated with people and stuff. So yeah, I was really actively trying there for a bit. It's just, you know, East Coast isn't that far either, you know. You got to make it. I'm gonna go on tour there in September. It's you know, if you fly in, especially, not too far.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Well, we can get the full feature story written by Steve Krakow, who is the usual author of the Secret History of Chicago music strip in the Chicago Reader. He took a deep dive into the life story of saxophonist Billy Harper and profiling him, because Billy Harper coming to Chicago is part of the Jazz Fest. And man, he sounds good. And it's a really interesting story to see where this amazing musician came from. And we can all check out the hard copy of the Chicago Reader, available all over the place in bins and in newsstands. And of course, ChicagoReader.com. Steve Krakow also drew a very nice rendering of Billy Harper. Hey, Steve, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. Enjoy Jazz Fest, and we'll talk in the not-too-distant future. We'll check in again for the Secret History of Chicago Music.
Right on.
Those who are in recovery from alcohol, drugs, or even mental illness often seek out a community from which to gather strength and support. Depending on the situation, finding that community might be a difficult thing to do. The Chicago Recovering Communities Coalition is a local nonprofit working to educate the Chicagoland area about the nature of addiction, recovery, and mental illness. On September 21st, this organization will co-host the Rally for Recovery National Hub event at the UIC Credit One Arena in Chicago. Dora Dantzler-Wright is the executive director of the Chicago Recovering Communities Coalition. They are online at chicagorecovery.org, and she is here with us today on Outside the Loop. Dora, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you here. So your organization, again, it's called Chicago Recovering Communities Coalition. You're providing services. You're also providing education. Can you give us a little bit more detail about exactly what it is that you do?
We are a recovery community organization that provides recovery support services to people seeking recovery or mental illness. And we are a nationally recognized RCO, Recovery Community Organization.
And so in there, what that means is you are providing programs, like you say, education. So you're actually letting us know what this is, what addiction is, how it works, what mental illness is, and how that affects people. Because I think we might throw these words around, but at the end of the day, if no one has experienced this themselves, it might be kind of a foreign concept. But really, I think that's part of what you do that's so important is you're really out there educating people, aren't you?
Absolutely. Our goal and our role is to put a face on recovery, provide education, life skills to people, families seeking recovery or in recovery.
And in terms of the services that you are providing, can you tell us a little bit about that? Because this is a very specific set of services that are required. What is it that you do when it comes to those services?
We provide education, life skills. We do naloxone distribution and training to help people save lives and reverse an opioid overdose. We work together to put an end to stigma, reduce drug overdoses, help people understand that mental illness and recovery, people can recover from those diseases.
Right. And in terms of how people can get in touch with your organization, you know, if people are going through what we're talking about here, or they know someone who is, how can they get in touch with your organization?
They simply have to call 773-417-2045.
And then we can also check out chicagorecovery.org for that website for the Chicago Recovering Communities Coalition. And, you know, everyone is different. And when people come to your organization, and really when you check out that website, you have lots of testimonials and stories of people that really turn things around and are now living a better life. But when people come to you, what's that process like of assessing what people need? Because no two people are the same, and we might have different needs and going through some different issues. How do you assess where people are at when they come to you?
They simply have to do a telephone screen. They tell us what they need. They tell us what services they're looking for. And if we have those services here, we enroll them in recovery support services. If we don't have those things that they're looking for, we refer them out to the appropriate agency, whether it's detox, whether it's treatment, whether it's trauma groups or things of that nature. We help with what we have in-house, and then we refer them to housing, other things that they need.
And what you do, community, I mean, it is so important. It's really part of your mission. And like I said, if you go to the website, chicagorecovery.org, you can see people that have been helped by this organization and are in a better place. But when you're talking about creating a supportive community for those who are in recovery, what does that entail? What is that process like?
That entails making sure that the family, as well as the person with the illness or seeking help, is involved in the process. Providing the same services to the family. They get life skills. They get educational workshops. They get the individualized sessions. And all of our services are free and non-clinical.
And I think that's important here because there is, and you mentioned it, there can exist a stigma around recovery and these issues of addiction and mental illness. How do we go about, and in your work, addressing that stigma and really trying to break that down so people can get the help that they need?
We do that by putting a face on recovery. We want to show people like ourselves, our agencies, that we are people in recovery, and we want to show them that this is a disorder and it can be treated. Stigma no longer can keep an individual from asking for help. Recovery matters, and we want people to know that they're not alone.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to creating that community, which is so important. And let's talk about the event coming up on September 21st. This is a Saturday, and here we are on the cusp of September, but this is just a few weeks away. This is, again, the Rally for Recovery National Hub event. It's taking place at the UIC Credit One Arena in Chicago, formerly the UIC Pavilion. What's coming up on September 21st?
September 21st is the National Rally for Recovery. If you don't know, September is designated in our country as Recovery Month. And we're going to host, our state has been chosen to host this rally. Each year, a state is chosen, and Illinois has been chosen this year. And we're in partnership with NERCO, Faces and Voices of Recovery, which is our our partner organization, and we want to unite. Thousands of people from all over the country are coming in for a day of education, awareness, and celebration. It's never been in Illinois before.
Oh, wow. So this is the first time this is in Illinois. Our state has been selected here, which is really, I think, very cool. And this is coming up September 21st, the Rally for Recovery event. And this is at UIC Credit One Arena. We can go to chicagorecovery.org for more information on that event and what's going on with Chicago Recovering Communities Coalition. Dora, before I let you go, the impact that your organization has, I think we should just mention this because you're really helping a lot of people. And I don't even know if it's possible to quantify that impact, but you have many services, many classes, many seminars, and many programs that help people. So really, your organization, you're not the only one, but you're really having an impact on Chicago, aren't you?
Yes, we are. This, all of our services are free. This event is free to the public. It'll feature live music, entertainments, recovery, community resources, national speakers. We'll have breakout panels. We'll have activities that is suitable for all ages. So it's family friendly, and we want as many people to be a part of this so that we can show them that recovery is possible.
That's right. Recovery is possible. The website is chicagorecovery.org. The event coming up September 21st at UIC Credit One Arena, the Rally for Recovery. It is co-hosted by the Chicago Recovering Communities Coalition, and Dora Dantzler-Wright is the executive director of that locally based nonprofit. Hey, Dora, thank you so much for the time today, and really congratulations on all of your hard work. I know the work continues, and thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you so much.
And that'll do it. Outside the Loop show number 933 is done. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. I appreciate you. We all appreciate Bob Ferguson, who is our engineer on duty in the WGN radio studio. Have a great week. Enjoy the Labor Day weekend. Get out there, grill, have a good time. And I'll talk to you again next time right here on Outside the Loop.